of yesterday we raised the following shayla about what the mitzvah of this milu that's we tell us in the fog of the nature of mitzvah is. Must the father do it himself, or does the father have the ability to hand it off to somebody else? Maybe does the principle of shluch hashon can also apply here for some strange reason. Maybe it shouldn't apply. So before we look in the Makaris and the Rishonim, just let's try to philosophize a little bit ourselves, try to figure out what should the din be, just using common sense, what should the halacha be. So the chavik should be relevant to what we spoke about yesterday. Yeah, we mentioned yesterday there's a basic hakira as to the nature of the obligation of the father of this meal, the nature of the obligation of the father, a personal private mitzvah that he himself has to do. What do we say? No, that the whole thrust of the mitzvah, the whole nature of the mitzvah, is to do it on behalf of somebody else. That he has to be known to the son with his chiyuv. That's basically what the mitzvah is all about. So the Torah, if one takes the second side of the hakira, that the whole nature of the mitzvah is basically son-oriented, the whole nature of the mitzvah is basically just to make sure that the son is not an orel. So maybe one can argue that it's not even shaykh to speak about the mirror with shlichus over here. When do we speak about shlichus? Shlichus means when I have something to do. When I have something to do, I have an action to do, I have a nice thing to do. So then we can argue, do I have the right to does the Torah mechadish the idea of shlichus or not? But over here, it's not even my mitzvah. The whole thrust of the mitzvah is just to make sure that the kid is not an orel. So push comes to shove. If Lamais, the kid's not an orel, so I was yelling to him, then the whole nature of the mitzvah is a son oriented. The whole nature of the mitzvah is geared towards ensuring the fact that the son's not an orel. So what does it matter whether we work with the guidelines of shlichus? Maybe we don't even need the dinim of shlichus in order for this mitzvah to be fulfilled. So where do we find such an idea? But sometimes you can have a mitzvah that the nature of the mitzvah is not so much that I do the action. The nature of the mitzvah is just that it gets done, that it gets accomplished. That the nature of the mitzvah is not so much a pa'ula, not so much a mitzvah, but rather it's more tzor oriented. And if that would be the case, if we could find such a mitzvah, so then it would make sense that you only have to come on to one of the shlichus. So we don't have to even go that far. We find it even by bris milah itself. So here's a sugya, hopefully we'll talk about next week. Famous sugya in the Daf Tesem and Aleph in Kiddushin, where the Gemara says that a woman is p'tura from being ma'al her son. The Gemara learns that from the Pasuk. Kasher tziva oso and rekim, oso v'lo oso. So hopefully we'll talk about it on Sunday. What do we need a Pasuk for? It's a cessation of the Gemara. It's a lot to discuss. But the Ma'al of the Gemara has a Pasuk. The Gemara is exerts a Pasuk that a woman is p'tura from being ma'al her child. So Tosfos is in Avodah Zarah is borrowing the question, the Mitzvah Machlokes in the Gemara, whether a woman is kasher to be a ma'al her son. Is a woman kasher to do a mila? So Tosfos Sikasha, ala tzad that a woman is psula to be a moel, so she's going to do the bris mila is not going to be kosher. So what do you need a pasuk to tell me that a woman is ptura from the mitzvah to be ma'al her son? It's obvious. How in the world can we even dream of being mechayev to do it? She can do it. If she will go ahead and do it, so it'll be a pasuk of bris mila. So what shayach with the gemara should be the pasuk? What for having me should be having me now? That a woman should be chayav to be ma'al her son, even if it's a woman that she does it, the mila is going to be psula. So Taisus the Avodah Zarah says no. The story is like this: that I would have thought lulei the gzeres hakasuv, not for the gzeres hakasuv of osav la'osa. So I would have thought that a mother is obligated to make sure that her son gets a bris milah. Not that she's going to do it herself, but not a shal. Of course she's not going to do it herself. According to one day, if she does it herself, the milah is not kosher anyway.
There happens because forecast 217. There happens because forecast 217.
So it was never in the ballpark that she's going to do the bris milah. The halakha of the Gemara was is that she should be required to hire somebody else. She should be required to get somebody else to go call the mother to make sure somebody else does the bris milah. So that's a decent havamina. That's not such a bad havamina. Kamash belon osav l'osav. That even that she's not mechuyev to do. So the chori have to raise the question of this tesis. What does tesis mean exactly? What kind of hakdara is this? Means if not for the gzeres hakasav of osav l'osav to exempt a woman, there would have existed such a concept that a woman would have been chayeves to get a moel. She would have been chayeves to call the moel. She would have been chayeves to pay for the moel, even though she can't do the mitzvah herself. So what kind of a mitzvah would that have been? What kind of a halacha would that have been? So we have a cloud that the Gemara tells us early on in this expedition. Kol milsa de'il lo motzi avid, shaliach lo motzi nashve. Anytime I can't do a mitzvah myself, so I can't appoint the shaliach to do that mitzvah. Shaliach means it's an extension, shaliach shalom to myself. So whatever I can do, I can appoint the shaliach to do. Whatever I personally can't do, so I can't, the shaliach can't be better than me. Lo yei tofer chomim re'ikar. So lo kol matz kol milah din pu la matz yada everything that I appear Allah can do shaliach la matz mash. It's not shayach to legal point to shaliach. The Gemara says this in the context of avodas hakavanos. There's a shayach of the Gemara. But I'm in Israel, so I go ahead and I bring a carbon to a kohen. I ask him to be mapped to the carbon on my behalf. So the Gemara wants to know, well, how do I understand this relationship between the Israel and the kohen? Is the kohen my shaliach, or is the kohen the shliach of a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Who exactly is the kohen representing in the Beis Hamikdash? Who cares who the kohen represents? They're not familiar with it. So the Gemara is poshut the shayach. The Gemara says it's obvious that the kohen is not representing the Israel. He's not the formal shliach of the Israel. Because of this principle, Kol knows that the Ilma Batsiyavid, Shaliach Batsiyavid. Since the Yisrael himself is not kosher to do up Vegas Ekabonos, Avodas Pesuv Bazarim, so whatever the Yisrael himself can do, so it's understood that he can't appoint a Shaliach to do as well. So the Gemara has this cloud. There's a cloud there, I saw. Kol knows that the Ilma Batsiyavid, Shaliach Batsiyavid. So come the Achareinim and jump on this Tosis and Avodas Zarah and say, isn't this Tosis a violation of this cloud? How could Tosis have even handed up this mitzvah that the woman can't do the bris mila herself? She'll do the mila herself, the mila be psul. It has to be done over here. So if she would do it herself, it's not an acceptable mila, but there would have been a hava mila that she's chayeves to hire somebody out. There would have been a hava mila that she's chayeves to call a mohel to make sure that the mohel does the bris. How could it be? How could we even create such a mitzvah? How could it even be the wildest hava mila that such a mitzvah exists that there could be even a hava mila should be hava mila such a mitzvah that I can't do myself, but I'm required to make sure that somebody else doesn't matter here. That's a violation of the cloud. Kol mil sa di'il la'matzi avid, shu'ruch la'matzi ma'ashvish. What's the pshat in Tosfos? Let's tell us what's going on, right? So our paragraph of the place is driving as the following we say. That the nature of this obligation to be mal your child, to be mal your son, so that's not a mitzvah which is mutelas alecha. It's not a mitzvah, a mitzvah that you have which would require the dinim of shlichos. There's a halacha that you have to make sure that your kid gets up to school. You have to make sure your child is not an oral. That's a quote from yesterday. You can't have an oral of b'shuscha. You have to make sure that you do whatever's in your power to make sure that your child gets a b'smila. So since the nature of the mitzvah is not a mitzvah, a ma'isa, which is mutelas on the gabra, but the nature of the mitzvah is a mitzvah which is klape the ben, which is a mitzvah just to be metapel to make sure that the son is not an oral. So that type of a mitzvah doesn't require the name of shlichus. This cloud of Kol Milsa Di'ula Motzi Avet, Shlich La Motzi Ma'as, that's a limitation in Hilchah Shlichus. Whenever you have to come onto Hilchah Shlichus, like the Kedushin, Gerushin, whenever there's a din of Shlichus, so then one of the limitations, one of the conditions of Shlichus is that it has to be something that you yourself personally can do. But when you're dealing with an obligation to be Ma'al your son, so that's not a Shlichus oriented Allah. You don't even need Hilchah Shlichus for that, because the very nature of the Halach, the very essence of the mitzvah, is klapei achirim. The very nature of the mitzvah is just to make sure your kid is not an oral. So you do it. You pick up the phone and make sure your kid's an oral. That's also okay.
Does that mean that tosis is to make it our tosis? We want to say that.
Maybe. So what are we getting from this tosis? So b'chare, we're getting this insight from this tosis that in Tumsalova that the nature of the mitzvah of mila is such that it's child oriented, that it's not really a chiyuv on the parent. So then you don't need Hilchah Shlichus. But we're not sure if that's right. We're not sure if that is the emes in the midst of Mila. That was yesterday's Shiva. That was the Reb Chaim. That was the all the rabbis back and forth from the Chinuch. So we had yesterday with the Rambams. We're not sure what the thing is. Maybe the nature of the mitzvah of this Mila is a mitzvah which is Mutelas on the Av himself. There's another answer to Tosfos in Avodah Zarah's Kasha. So if you take the Tzad that it is a mitzvah which is Mutelas on the father, then you really have to be done properly. Then you really have to philosophize properly, figure out is Shlichus acceptable here or not. So Al Tzad, that it's not a mitzvah Mutelas on the Av, then you don't need Shlichus. So of course, you can call somebody else, that's no problem. But Al Tzad, that it is a mitzvah Mutelas on the Av, is there any reason to believe that Shlichus isn't acceptable? So why in Hecha Teisa we have a cloud of Kol Karakul Shlichus from Kamelso? So why in the world should we believe that Mila is different? So the Tos suggests the following itself. That we know that there are some mitzvahs that are not subject to Shlichus. And those mitzvahs are what we call in Halacha mitzvah shebagufa. So it's interesting that the cloud of mitzvah shebagufa doesn't appear in the Gemara anywhere. It's something that the Rishon discussed at the beginning of the second paragraph of the second tradition. It's understood, everybody somehow everyone realized that this is true intuitively, that I can't appoint the shliach to put on tefillin for me. Let's say I want to sleep a little bit late tonight, so I'll call somebody up and I'll say, do me a favor, you get up, you go to shul, you put on tefillin for me, you say Kriya Shema for me. Or I'll call somebody or a sukkah, I'll say, do me a favor, I can't afford to buy a Luvan Esrit, you go ahead and you shake the Luvan Esrit an extra time and have in mind to be Motzi me, shliach shalom kibbutz. So somehow that doesn't work. Mitzvah Sheva Gufa. So the question is, why not? What's the chisson exactly in Mitzvah Sheva Gufa? So there's a very famous Tesis Rid that appears in the beginning of the Rabbin Messiah's Kiddushin. The Tesis Rid suggests that the reason why there's no Shlichus for Mitzvah Sheva Gufa is that if you look carefully at all the times in Halacha where we find Shlichus, so there's always something that's being Messiahes that's relating back to the Mishaleh. The Moshe. If Reuben is Mamana Shimon, to be Mekadish Saisha, so the woman becomes Mekudeshes to Reuben, she becomes Mekudeshes to the Mishaleach. Or if Reuben is Mamana Shimon to be Megaresh's wife, so then the woman becomes Megureshes Menenu. There's a change in their relationship. Or let's say if I appoint someone as a Shaliach to be Mafish from as an answer for me, so my food is no longer Tevel. So there's always something that we could relate back to the Mishaleach. There's always some kind of a change in the Mishaleach. There's a change either in terms of the Mishaleach's property, in terms of Mishaleach's status and issues, there's always something that we can pinpoint and go back to the Mishaleach and say. But when you don't have any change vis-a-vis the Mishaleach, so it does, as Ruth said, that's not considered to be Shlichos. But Shlichos, you can't just start appointing somebody to do something that is not Shaykhus to you. You can only appoint the Shlich to do something with after what he does, we can relate it back to him. So if it's not something that has that ability to be the Shaykhus back to the Mishaleach, so then that's not Shaykh, that's not in the parish of Shlichus altogether. That's the chisaron of Shlichus by Mitzvah Sheva Gufa. So the Ketzel says, according to that beer that the Tais is read, so then we can begin to understand why maybe there's no Shlichus by Gus Mila. Because Bila is a similar idea. That when the father appoints a Shaliach to be Mal, his child, in his behalf, so what exactly relates back to the father? What change, what grandiose change happened to the father? Since nothing happens to the father, it's just a mice of the alma, it's just a mitzvah meal of the alma. So you don't say shlich, it's not a mice of mitzvah of the alma. That is the same chisaron as a mitzvah sheva gufa. The only thing is, we can be ma'orah in this itself, that although it's an interesting idea to invoke this Tosfos Rid to explain why perhaps shlichus wouldn't make sense in the realm of mila, it's very, very strange that the Tosfos is invoking this, because the Tosfos himself, the typical Tevei, the very beginning of the shluchim, so the Ketzos was the Bar Plukta of the Tosfos Rid. But the Ketzos himself didn't think that the Tosfos Rid's analysis of the reason why Mitzvah Sheva Gufa is no Shalichus is correct. The Ketzos argued against the Tosfos Rid that he thought that the Tosfos Rid's Svar was against the Sud in the beginning of the second paragraph of the Kiddushim. The Gemara is a Machlokes Achtanoim, whether the Shalichus by Dvar Avera or not. We always grew up with the idea of Ein Shalichus Dvar Avera. We've been brainwashed away, the Ein Shalichus Dvar Avera. But not everyone agreed to that. There was one Tana, Shami Hazokin, Tana himself, Shami himself, he held that Yei Shalich with Dvar Avera. So the Gemara says that according to Shammai, if I appoint somebody as a Shalich to kill somebody else, so I'm going to be Chayav Misas Beis Din, the Shluch Shalom Kamoso, the same way that Shluch Shalom Kamoso works in the realm of Shemus and Maisvias and Kedush and Gittin, so works in the realm of Averas as well. So Yei Shalich was a Dvar Avera according to Shammai. And all the other Tanoim, all the other Chumbas agree to Shammai. Why did they disagree with Shammai? The Gemara has a whole discussion, the first two dafim in the second birth of Kiddushin, why the rest of the world disagrees with Shammai. Once far, the Gemara says it's Divya Rav, the Divya Talmud, Divya Mishalmim. It means that you can't have Shlichos when the Shaliach wasn't supposed to be listening to the Mishaleach in the first place. Because who told the Shaliach to listen to the Mishaleach? The Shaliach should have listened to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Divya Rav, you should listen to the Rav, the Rebbe, to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Divya Talmud, why are you listening to the Mishaleach who told you to kill somebody? So that's one svar that the Gemara says. But the Gemara says, Sukkim to teach us the nation of the Vavir. So, bottom line, at the end of the day, nobody except Shammai. We pass it against Shammai. The Gemara says that we also hold that if I hire somebody, or hire a hitman to kill somebody, they don't think that I'm the tzaddik, he said, oh, I'm going to get Machmiyoma for that. That's an Aveira, it's a terrible Aveira, and I'm Chayav Misa B'dei Shemayim for it. But in terms of being Chayav Misa B'dei, then according, can you really say that I'm the violation of Asir Tzach? So that we cannot say. So we pass him against Shammai, we pass him at Asia of the Bavir. So comes the Ketzelus in the beginning of the Shluchim and asks on the Tosfos Rid, according to you, Tosfos Rid, that the whole Yisoy, the whole Parish of Shluchos, was only said when the Dvar which of Mishiach is back to the Mishaleach. So what exactly is Mishiach is back to the Mishaleach in the realm of Averus? When I ask Ruvain to go kill Shimon, so Ruvain pulls the trigger, he kills Shimon. So what exactly goes back to me? So what change in Dina Mamonis happened to me? What change in Ishus happened to me? What effect on my property happened through the murder of Shimon? So the answer is nothing. So ask itself, so if you are right, Tosfos read, that Ein Shlich, that the chisaron of Shlichus on Adav Shem Mitzvah Shebegufo is a global chisaron in terms of the Shlichus. If Shlichus was only Mischacha, when he had something which is Mischacha, attacked him in the Shalaf, so why are the Tanoim wasting our time in the beginning of the second paragraph of Kiddushin? Why are we having a two-block sugya about whether Ein Shlich is not there, Ein Shlich is not there? It's Mubam Me'ilav. It's obvious that Ein Shlich is not there, because Shlich is not there is the same chisaron as a Shlich is Shebegufo. We don't find any Tanoim. We don't find Shana that says you can't appoint the Shlich to put still around you. Everybody agrees that you say.
Just a reminder, Alex Ronstein, Adam Justin, Ron Cole, Jack Maugh,
so it comes and tells and says that the Tosfos Rid is wrong, because the Tosfos Rid is saying is right, the Shlichus is one of the only ones that are not Mishyaches, so then the whole Sugi of Angel of the God there is a superfluous Sugi. It should have been covered by the cloud of the Tosfos Rid. So the Tosfos Rid, the Ketzos himself didn't buy into the Tosfos Rid. So Tata, according to the Ketzos, what is the reason? Why is there no Shlichus from Mitzvah Shabbat? Everybody agrees that there's no Shlichus from Mitzvah Shabbat. What's the Svar for it? So the Ketzos says an entirely different point. The Ketzos says that the idea of Shlichus means that I can appoint a Shaliach to do a ma'is on my behalf. I can appoint the shaliach to create a chalais on my behalf. But I can't appoint the shaliach that the guf ha-shaliach should become the guf ha-mishalach. That means I'm still a different entity. I'm a different person. So shalichus works on certain things. It doesn't work on other things. Why doesn't it work on tefillin? So it tells us like this. If I appoint the shaliach, I call up Reuben and say, please put on tefillin this morning and do it on my behalf. It says it tells the Maisa Hanochas Tefillin that Reuven's doing is Mesiachis to me. It's Ke'ilu, I was Beniach Tefillin. But where were the Tefillin put on? They were put on Reuven's arm. They weren't put on my arm. So what would the din be if I wake up early in the morning, I take my Tefillin out of the bag, and I tie them on Reuven's arm? So I did not fulfill the Mitzvah Hanochas Tefillin. The Mitzvah Hanochas Tefillin means a Shach and Yos on your behalf, but the Tefillin has to be on my arm. So it says it tells that it's not Shach to speak about Shlichus or the Mitzvah Shebehufo, because Shlichus is only the Chadish that the Maisa of the Shaliach is considered to be the Maisa of the Shaliach. Any Chalos that the Shaliach makes is considered to go back to the Misachis, back to the Chalos of the Shaliach. But the goof of the Shaliach is not the goof of the Shaliach. Like Moshe Mother of the Nome, let's say when the Shaliach puts on tefillin, so the Shaliach putting tefillin on his own arm is like me putting tefillin on my left arm. Left arm, my right arm, literally. On my wrong arm. The din is that it's not enough that I do a ma'isa nachas tefillin. I have to do a ma'isa nachas tefillin on the correct arm. I have to do a ma'isa nachas tefillin on the yad kei, the yad that the Shabbos said. So if the ma'isa nachas tefillin that the shliach does is on his own arm, so it's not going to be better than on the incorrect arm of mine. So it says that the chisaron of mitzvah shebegufo. It was said Moshe the mitzvah v'chilas ma'atza. So I can't appoint the shliach with ma'atza right there. Because the din is, achila means it has to go down my throat. It's got to go down my tomb. So it says itself, whatever is a mitzvah that involves a gufa adam, so it's not shaykh to say that gufa shaliach is ki'ilu, that is gufa mishalayah. So since it tells itself is not by into the Tosfos Rid's beside.
Rabbi, we're going to the mitzvah. The rabbi is here. Please come down with 8:30 now. Brother, today, in the coming out.
Tough life. No, my days when we had to leave camp, so you had to get someone to take you to Hancock, so the bus for 6 hours, and yeah. If you missed the one bus during the day, you had to wait for the next day. There's only one bus out. Anyway, so the Chora, according to the view that the Ketzos himself has, within this halacha that there's no shlichus on mitzvah shebegufo, so now it's sort of plugging the Ketzos himself's beer into the mitzvah of Bris Mila. So is there any reason to believe that Bris Mila should be labeled as a mitzvah shebegufo according to Ketzos' understanding of mitzvah shebegufo? So the answer is probably not. It means when can we say that there's a chisar in mitzvah shebegufo? That's a type of a mitzvah that involves the guf Adam. So the mitzvah of tefillin involves the goof of Adam. The mitzvah of chilas matz involves the goof of Adam. The mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah involves your goof has to be taken with it, has to be, you have to be dar in the sukkah. But the mitzvah of the smila is not a mitzvah that the father does on his own goof. Okay? It's a mitzvah he does to somebody else. So since the whole nature of the chil of the father is to do the bris to somebody else, it doesn't involve his goof in his air, so then why should that be chisar in the mitzvah? Should be goofo. So the chari, the ketzos, pull the first one on us. The ketzos, the shimpei days, gives us a whole yisar. Why is it that there's no shlichus on bris mila? So he says, the reason is because it's mitzvah should be goofo, like the Tesis Rid writes in the second brand of Kiddushin. That's all fine and dandy if you go with the Tesis Rid's understanding of the chisar of mitzvah should be goofo, that the chisar is that there's nothing that misyach is back to the mishalach. So to by bris mila, there's nothing that misyach is back to the mishalach. But if you go with the ketzos himself in kufnei days, he didn't like the Tesis Rid. He said the Tesis Rid was wrong because he was against the whole sugya of Shluchei Avera. So according to his understanding of the chisaron of mitzvah should be gufo, that the chisaron is that the guf hashaliach is not the guf of the shaleach, so that chisaron makes absolutely no sense in the realm of shlichus. So the ketzos invoked the principle of mitzvah should be gufo, but he invoked his bar plukta's understanding of it, not his own understanding. It's a little bit of a telling the ketzos.
Why that's not why not the same thing as lulav? Meaning, just like it's lulav is a mitzvah the ma'aseh, it's your hand that has to be shaking lulav. So here too, it has to be your hand that's doing the ma'aseh.
That's true. I think the mitzvah of lulav. So if you had to identify the ma'aseh mitzvah lulav, the ma'aseh mitzvah is in my hand. If you have to identify the ma'aseh mitzvah with me, I think the ma'aseh mitzvah is in the baby.
But maybe that's the whole meaning of that it's his chiyuv.
Even if you hold that it's my field, so I don't. There's no nothing happens with my goof. It's not really my goof that's doing it.
The same thing.
By lulav, clearly the if you have to isolate the mitzvah, identify the mitzvah. Clearly the mitzvah is the hands of the nitel. Whereas over here, I don't know. I'm not sure if that's true. So this is an interesting machlokes of ketzos and tesis rid. It's important in terms of me. It's important in general. So I always, whenever I make that statement, if this is a machlokes of tesis rid, ketzos, I always start to shake a little bit. You know, remember why? You remember why? From last year, I understand last year. So I told it all last year. So this goes back already a couple of years, 3 years. This goes back to my before last year, my last summer in Rosh Hashanah, 1994. So I was going out with my wife at the time. So, I'm from California. So I went for Shabbos. I left camp. Didn't send the limo, nothing. I left. I found my way myself. I went to go meet my in-laws-to-be in California. So I went for a couple of days. So on Shabbos, they asked me to say a shiur there. So I was saying a shiur there. No one exactly knew what I was, who I was exactly, what I was doing there. So whatever, I said a shiur. And somehow it turned out that I was talking about this ketzos. I don't know how we got to it, but whatever. Nice that we're talking about this topic. So, those come to my shiur know that we never know, have any idea how we get to anything. We never know how to get out of anything. So, I was talking about this ketzos rid of the ketzos, and I said, oh, it's a machlok, this ketzos rid of the ketzos, and I said, oh, the shibotar Hashem. So, there was an older Rosh Hashiva there from Eretz Yisrael who was visiting, and he was very, very upset at me. He stopped in the middle of the shiur and he said, Echata omer machlok is ketzos rid of the ketzos, ketzos rid of your rishon. So I say, Achron, you shall be out. In machloikis, then Mishael and then Achron. So what do you want from me? I said, it says one thing. It says it's wrong. It says something else. So what should I call that? So what do you want? What would you like me to call that exactly? So he said, because I love it. So what's the machloikis? Anyways, he got all agitated about it. Screaming me, this is my brother here. I'm trying to get a wife, and he's screaming me that it doesn't really exist. So there was somebody at the shia. We went afterwards to Eretz Yisrael, and they met Danny Feldman. Right? What about Danny Feldman? Yeah. So we used to be chavrusas. So he came back a little bit later, and right after I got engaged, and he wished me mazel tov, and he said, so what was that machlokes? The place is really miktas. So he said, I started to shake. I said, who told you? I thought this Rosh Hashiva went to go scream about me. He said, no, so some guy was at the Shia who said that was the only thing he remembers about the Shia, that some Rosh Hashiva was screaming at me for fame. Well, the Maisa, there is a Machlokes, there still was, there is, there will always be a Machlokes, and the Ketzos, the Maisa, pulls a Gupan on us, they're quoting the Tesis Rid's understanding of Mitzvah Gupan, and he himself doesn't subscribe to it. Anyway, getting back to the regular story. So far, we've been saying she's ready for half an hour, and we haven't quoted any Makaris yet about this topic. We've just been throwing out Tzvaras. We're trying to see what's the din. Should there be Shlichas on Bris Mila or not? So, Pachas, what did the Rishonim say? Is there Shlichas? Is there no Shlichas? The only Makar we quote is if it says. So, this was not heard. So, what did the Rishonim have to say about it? Is there any Rav in the Rishonim? Is there Shlichas on Bris Mila or not? So, there is a Rosh, a very famous Rosh that appears in the Sefer Masechet Tehillim. The Gemara is talking about the following. The Gemara is talking anything about this meal. The Gemara is talking about the Kisi Adar. It's a mitzvah that a person shechts a chayim or an oath, so you have to do the mitzvah of Kisi Adar. Anyone ever do the Kisi Adar? Not the parent, the mitzvah, no? No one ever does the mitzvah. I zech do the mitzvah. Okay, I zech do the mitzvah twice. So once it's passed that some Gedalia did it, that when they were shechting kaparis and tinek, so somebody asked me that one. So somebody was mechabim me to do Kizei Adam, so I was very excited. I was very excited for a lot of reasons, you don't get to do this that much. So I did the mitzvah Kizei Adam, and in the process I got like blood all over my hands. So it was very involved with the Maya Chayim. So then it was some Gedai in the afternoon, and I was supposed to be a sandwich for a bris that afternoon. So I washed off my hands from the blood, and I went to the sandwich, and then boom, but the Dam Amil also spritzed all over my hand. I'm at the same place. So I was like, this is very spooky here, so I said, so the truth, some Gedai, twice Dam in the same, I don't know if it's supposed to be synonym exactly, but whatever it was, so that was the story. That was the first Kisi Adam. The first Kisi Adam I did was in Belfer, when the Rebbe Rapp, another one of my illustrious colleagues from the days gone by, also my roommate. So everyone knows him. The rep. Everyone knows him, rep. A little bit. Okay. It's a well-known character around the yeshiva. So he decided to shecht. He was going to shecht for 1 year. He decided to shecht a couple of chickens. So he shechted a chicken for me in Belfast. So he was mechanim with Kisi Adam. That was a famous chicken that we brought back to the dorm, and we cashed it in the dorm, and we ate it, and I'm still alive to tell the tale. So the mitzvah of Kisi Adam, so the Gemara says that the person who shechts, he's really the one who has the schus to be do Kisi Adam. So if somebody goes out and grabs the mitzvah from him, so he's a Gemara, so let's say Rabbi Rapp, he shechted, so he can't give you, he's just to do Kisi Adam. But if I would have gone ahead and thrown the dirt on the blood without asking him, so the Gemara says I would be chayv to pay him a knas, because I stole something from him. So then I tell you I'm not chayv to pay him, I tell you I'm not chayv to pay him, but if it's a bond, they made a knas, then I have to pay 10 zehuvim. So there's this idea of domain mitzvah, that if I jump, I steal a mitzvah from somebody, I have to pay the next amount of money. So the Rosh discusses the following shayla, that if we can extrapolate this knas of 10 zehuvim, maybe the other types of mitzvahs as well. So says the Rosh, what's the din? Let's say a father is standing there, he's getting his knife ready, about to do the bris mila, and some guy comes running in, tackles him over, and grabs out his own knife, and he goes down and cuts off the arm, and does the bris mila. So now, remember, he stole the mitzvah from the father, so the Rosh says, tach, he's a cop. So you have to pay the tens of Hulu in the same way the person who stole the mitzvah Kisi Adam. But the Rosh says, what about another case? Let's say the father is not going to do the bris mila. The father hires a mother, he asks the mother to do the bris mila, and the mother's getting his knife already, and then the third guy comes and tackles the mother. He goes in, he jumps the gun, he does the bris mila. So the Rosh says, then there's no chiyuv of ten zehuvim. Why not? So the Rosh says that Yishlama was the father, was getting ready to do the mitzvah. So when the outside came, he stole the mitzvah from the father. So it's not a gana. So the same way that if I'm a chasid adam, I steal the mitzvah from the sheikh, it's his chus. So it says the sheikh is first classic the mitzvah. So if somebody steals from the sheikh, it says a god, so too. If somebody steals from the father is first classic the mitzvah, so you're stealing from the father, you should be required to pay 10 zulim. But if you're stealing from the third guy, you're stealing from the mother, so my only hymen is why is the mother any better than you are? He's the I'm not the father of the baby, and the mother's not the father of the baby, so I have just as much right to be mom's baby as the mother last, so therefore he doesn't think there would be any field of 10 zulim under the circumstances. So comes the Shach in Siddur Shem Pei Beis, and he gives right. So what is the Shach? Shem Pei Beis. So comes the Shach, and he says, "You see from this rush of Gavaldiki, you see from this rush that if a father knows that a big bris mila himself, he under no circumstances should delegate this mitzvah to somebody else, because if he delegates it to somebody else, you don't apply the principle of shlichos by bris mila." And therefore, the father loses out the mitzvah. The kid's not in the hole anymore, obviously, but the father loses out the mitzvah. So, if the father tells him, you're allowed to do this, what do you want? You're not going to, you don't have to kill the kid in order to get your mitzvah. So never, you don't know how to do this yourself. So for fun, you have to get somebody else to do it, and you're not going to be yotzei mitzvah. But if you know how to do it yourself, so just delegate to somebody else, so normally there's a klal mitzvah yotzei b'shulcho, that's a mitzvah l'chatchila. You should do mitzvahs yourself rather than delegate them to shlichim. But here says the Shach, it's much worse than that. If you go ahead and you delegate the mitzvah to somebody else, you're not responsible for the mitzvah b'arik, because there's no shlichus on the mitzvah of this mitzvah. And says the Shach, this is what the Rosh is driving off. So the obvious question is, what did the world of the Rosh say about shlichus? How did the Shach see in this Rosh that there's no shlichus by this mitzvah? So the Tzelz, the same Tzelz that we quoted before, so the Tzelz is Ma'arach to explain what the Shach was driving at. It says the Ketzos, all the Rosh addressed was why the Mayel doesn't have to pay. Why the Ganav of the Mila doesn't have to pay the Mayel. So that was not a good svar. My only high mehai. Mehecha Peser, you have more of a schus in this mitzvah than I do. We're all in the boat together. So that I understand. That the Rosh solved that problem. It asks the Ketzos, l'chora, what the Ganav of the Mila should have to pay is he should have to pay to the father. Why should he have to pay to the father? Because Kolzman, that the first person, the Mayel, who was asked by the father to do the mitzvah, Kolzman, that he'll do the mitzvah, so then Shmucha Shorim Kibozo, so even the father did it, so the father's going to be going to the mitzvah. But if the third guy, the guy who tackles the Mayel, he goes ahead without the father's consent, and he does the Bismila, so he is not a Shulia for the father. So now it turns out that the Mila's been done, Shalobitara Shmucha to the father, so it turns out that the father's not fulfilling the mitzvah. Why did the Rosh only talk about when the third guy has to pay the Mayel? Why didn't the Rosh talk about the more important question, that the third guy has to pay the father? So what happens the third guy from paying the father? Because again, if the Mayel who was appointed by the father does the bris, so then Shluch Shalom Kibbutzai, so then even the father did it, so then the father's in the Yotzei's mitzvah. But the third guy coming and tackling the Mayel and gambling the mitzvah, so it turns out he's doing it shalom b'parash mitzvah to the Av. So it turns out that the Av is not fulfilling the mitzvah. So the third guy stole the mitzvah from the father. So says the Ketzos, obviously, the answer to this problem is very simple, that the Rosh must have understood that it's not even in the ballpark to pay the father. Why? Because the father is not doing the mitzvah now. When the father appoints a mother, the mother's son, shlichus doesn't work. So then, kavachol, the father's not going to be yotzei any mitzvah. So it wasn't even having the Rosh that the third guy got to tackle the mayel, she has to pay the father, because the father blew it anyway. The father lost the mitzvah anyway. By delegating the mitzvah to a shliach, by hiring a mayel, so the father's out of the picture. The father's never going to be yotzei any mitzvah whatsoever, because there's no shlichus whatsoever on bris milah. The only question that the Rosh was dealing with was, well, I'll be off of the father, forget the father, maybe the third guy should have to pay the mayel. So it's to that, but the Rosh said no. If the Hecha tells you the third guy has to pay the mayel, my omehai mehai, why is the mayel of any more discourse? Why is it any more the kedim in the mitzvah? Because the father told him, that doesn't create a kedim in the mitzvah. Why does that give him any more, why is he any more the baal ha-mitzvah than the third guy? So it says that it was munachim the Rosh, and the fact that the Rosh didn't even address the issue of paying the father, that the Rosh understood that the father's out of the ballpark. The father's out of the game entirely. From the moment that the father delegates the mitzvah to somebody else, so the father is not a bar hochi to be zeichin the mitzvah anymore, because shlichus makes absolutely no sense in the realm of bris milah. So that's what the Shach saw within this Rosh, is to understand that shlichus doesn't make any sense. And then the Ketzos goes on to say, and why is it that shlichus doesn't make any sense by bris milah? So the Ketzos says, the reason is, the rationale is because it's the mitzvah of the gufo, according to the Ketzos, based on everything that we said up until now. So this would be a tremendous finish. This would really be the Shach in the Rosh. Like the Shach is saying, like the Ketzos is learning Shach in this Rosh, this would be a tremendous finish. The ramifications of this finish would be mind-boggling. It means basically, any time a father knows that a good whisper, he's mechuyav to do it. Because he can't be mechabi to another male, he can't have somebody else to do it in his behalf. Not just only because of mitzvah b'yom from the Shulchan, because his mom is being mevatel and mitzvah d'oraisa. Or similarly, if this Rosh and this Shach were right, it would probably behoove us to learn how to do bris milah. It's not so hard. Learn to do a bris milah. Otherwise, nothing. You're losing the mitzvah every time that you have a baby boy. So you have to you know, cut out of the mitzvah, you're never going to fulfill your mitzvah deraisa properly. So if this rush and the shach and this excessive understanding was really the emes of pshat here, this would be a tremendous chumra. Is there any other way to learn pshat in this sugya? Is there any other way to understand what the rush is driving at? So l'chora, one could say an entirely different pshat than what the rush is talking about. Because when the rush said that the third guy doesn't have to pay the moher, and the rush didn't even address the third guy paying the father, so maybe one could say the reason why the third guy doesn't have to pay the father is for totally different reason. This knas, which is only the derabbanan, this knas of Ben Zehuba, so this was instituted for somebody who's trying to do the mitzvah himself. Like the guy in the case of Kisirban, a shech to the animal, a shech to the bird, a shech to the chaya, I'm about to go ahead and do the mitzvah of Kisirban. I'm getting ready to do the mice with my own body, with my own hands. And then some guy, some maneuver walks in and bumps me off and goes ahead and grabs the dirt and machas it down for me. So you're mamasha nana, you're mamasha, you're Russia, you stole my mitzvah. That's a terrible thing, so therefore we're going to make the pay depends on who we. So that was analogous to the first case of the rush, where the father himself is standing there, knife in hand. He's opening up the diaper to pay. He's getting ready to be mild. And now some guy pulls him over and grabs a knife out of his hands and goes in and does bris mila. So that makes sense that the chum should be mechayev to pay ten zehuvim. However, if the father is not going to do the mitzvah anyway, personally, he's not being oisik in the mitzvah, he's not being the top on the mitzvah, he just picked up the phone and called the mayel and he's out of the picture. So the chi hagavna, that a person is not going to be oisik in the nice and mitzvah himself, it could be that the knas of ten zehuvim was never instituted. That the reason why the rush didn't even address the issue. The reason why the rush didn't even need to address the issue of paying off the father was not because the father of his din is not going to be yet to the mitzvah. Of course the father is going to be yet to the mitzvah. Of course Shluch HaShlom can both sell. Of course they do the thing that bumps off the shaliach, so it turns out that he stole the mitzvah from the father. That's true, but that type of stealing the mitzvah from the father, where the father Bo'olam Balchi wasn't planning on doing it physically with his own hands, such an act of Geneva doesn't warrant the Knas, doesn't require the Knas of Ten Zehuvim. The Knas of Ten Zehuvim was only instituted the Chayagavna when the person was physically involved in the mitzvah himself. If Bo'olam Balchi, the father, was willing to delegate the mitzvah to somebody else, so then he loses his Chuyot to receive the Knas in the first place. So it could be that's what the rush was driving at. So there's the Shach built this whole Shukotara. So the Shach, Mamash elaborated and made this whole Chagadja out of the rush. And the fact that the rush didn't say that the God of his had to pay attention to the father, there must be a raya that there's no shlichus from Hila and the whole Megillah that we said before. Well, how do you develop it? It could be that's not all the rush meant. All the rush meant is that the father, B'lav Hachi, loses out on the Ten Zehuvim, because Ten Zehuvim will only give it to somebody who's been Isaac Gufo in mitzvahs. But in terms of pure mitzvah b'smila, tachlis, does a person perform the mitzvah b'smila ayde shaliya? So the answer is, yeah, of course you perform the mitzvah of b'smila ayde shaliya.
But if there is shaliyas, then the Rosh should be deciding that when he steals the mitzvah b'smila, and he does that, he should have finished it.
No, it's not the shliach. No, it's not the shliach's mitzvah.
The shliach does have a mitzvah of
the shliach. No, it's a shliach.
There's no mitzvah whatsoever.
It's the last guy. There's no mitzvah. So again, the only thing we know clear from this rush is that the rush didn't address the issue of the God of paying off the father. So why not? So the shach and the tzos will learn the shach because there's no shlichos anyway. So the lav hachi didn't build it for the father. And we're suggesting, no, that there is shlichos, and you are in theory stealing something from the father, but that type of stealing, when the father's alive, while he wasn't doing it in his own body, that type of the stealing doesn't warrant him to do it.
The shlichos
of Rabban also means that it's all the father has to take, it's all the shlichos of everything that the shlichos does, like he would do. Right, but the knas, but I'll probably think, the knas of Ben Zuri, that's the knas of Rabban, the knas of Rabban was only something for the guy, he really feels bad, he really feels terrible, and he's had the knife in hand, and something from the wall, but that's the knas. Do we have any mockup from anybody who actually says this? That is just our suggestion. So the Yemen says this seems to be with the Psak of the Ramah. It seems to be the opinion of the Ramah. Why is that? Because the Ramah quotes this Rosh Ramah. The Ramah should be based in Chesh Mishpat, quotes this Rosh. And the Ramah in Da'ak Emotion, Uchaz Mila, happens to be the day that says that the issue of Rosh Mila. Ramah quotes the Zerua. It seems to say that there's no Shnei Chesh Mila. And therefore, going to the Zerua, the father knows that the person has to be himself.
And Rama says it's not true. Rama says, what are you talking about? Shmuel Shalom Kamosim Kol Torah Kula. So here we have in the one hand the Rama in Daki Moshe attack, and the Rama in your day itself doesn't say one way or the other. But the Rama in Daki Moshe and Chus Mila in your day assumes that there is Shmuel for Chus Mila, whereas the Rama himself, the Shimpe Beis Lechashimish, quotes the Rosh. So according to the Shach and itself, those two things are contradictory. The answer is not contradictory because it's a totally different Shach and the Rosh. And the Rosh is saying like we're saying, not at all like the, not all like where the Shach and the itself says. The bottom line is, it's like an OJ showing, just in case you don't come to answer the phone. So the bottom line is, so should there be shlichus and mila or not? So it really depends on a combination of what we said yesterday and what we said today. So according to the first side, what we said yesterday, that the nature of the mitzvah of this mila is not really a goof oriented altogether. It's just to make sure that the son is yet to his chiyuv. So in front of the marshal of the fences in that body is all up, that it would make sense that such a type of mitzvah wouldn't even need the regular 12 shlichus. You don't have to come up with the shlichus. Whereas if you hold that the mitzvah is a mitzvah mutalas al ha'adam, al ha'av himself, so then we have to be done as a shayach, that we should label this the mitzvah of the gufo. So we thought that this should depend on the machlokes that's based on the mitzvahs, what the chisar and the mitzvah of the gufo is. The mitzvah of the gufo, chisar, there's nothing that's being misyach, it's back to the mishalayat, like the case of the so that would be a chisar and a mil also. Whereas the nature of the chisar and the mitzvah of the gufo, that the gufo shaliyat is not like the gufo mishalayat, which probably wouldn't apply in the realm of this mila. Then we have the Rosh, who says something about this topic. The Shach, at least before he said something about this topic. So we said that, although the Shach and the Ktos went in one direction with this Rosh, the Rama seemed to go with the, in another direction. So the Rosh, you know. I just want to get just a little bit of a start, just a couple of minutes, onto the next sugya. The Gemara says that this mitzvah, this mila, that's munachas and that.